Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, KMOX at your service. It's the KMOX Auto Show. Now, here's your host, Greg Damon.
Jack it up, jack it up. Body gonna shut you down. It happened on the strip where the road is wide. Two cool shorts standing side by side. Yeah, a fuel injected Stingray in a 413. Revving up our engines and it sounds real good.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Welcome back, my friends, to the KMOX Auto Show. That's right, it is Saturday at your service. All the experts here today helping you out. The auto show is no difference. That's right. What time is it? It is time for audience participation. That's right. You got a question or query in the wacky world of automotive. We're going to help you out today. Here's the numbers. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Many folks driving down for the All-Star game tonight are going to the St. Louis Auto Show. And you're thinking around like, hey, what about this old clunker I'm driving? You got a question? 314-436-7900. Or 1-800-925-1120. My name is Greg Damon, host of the KMOX Auto Show. If you want to email me a question during the week, had a couple great questions this week about some tires and some other stuff. If it's real easy, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com, KMOXAutoGuy@gmail.com. But as I always say, better yet, join us on the program, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Got a lot of stuff coming up today here on the KMOX Auto Show. There's a couple big events also going on in St. Louis, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. Elise Rich has stayed around. Elise, really? So they're going to test market an app to see if kids are going to class in college.
I guess that's what it says. I mean, I just reading over it again. What I think, okay, so let's say you're putting forth scholarship money for some folks,
right.
Athletes.
Right.
They're not showing up to class. I mean, I think it's also a lot of those...
Wait a minute. You're saying athletes don't show up to class?
I don't know. That's stereotypical of me. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm just saying that sometimes folks get scholarships. And that's money a lot of times received maybe from taxpayer dollars.
Right.
So possibly this is a little bit of prudence on the school's part. I don't know. I mean, people will disagree, privacy or whatever, but...
What about mom and dad, you know... hawking over a bunch of money for you to go to college, and you know you're coming home with that solid D.
Well, I didn't get that privilege. I had Uncle Sam put my bill with the GI Bill, but no, I get it. I don't know when you know my kids get that age. I don't know if I'll do it. I mean, my kid has to be, you know, scholarships. They need to work hard, and somebody's paying those large amounts of money to get you to school, and I think it's respectful and diligent to take. And, you know, and if this is what they have to do, if it's some kind of policing, I don't know. I mean, what are you supposed to do when that money isn't theirs? I mean, if you're paying it yourself, then, yeah, I don't think you should be tracked.
Right. But no, I agree. But, you know, there's all sorts of organizations that give scholarship money as well as the schooling or whatever. You know, it could be a church, could be, you know, another school, could be all, you know, businesses do it. And that's money that they intend for you to go to school to better yourself. And if you're not showing up for class and, you know, that's not a good thing.
Absolutely. I agree with you. So we'll see where this goes. I'm sure there'll be some lawsuits if I know the United States well enough.
I really am curious to see what happens to colleges in the next 20, 30, 40 years to where, you know, it may be just all online and you may not have to go to a campus and live anymore.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, speaking of that, I just read in the Jefferson County Leader, St. Pius, on their snow day, they didn't have really a snow day. The kids didn't go to school, but they had an e-learning thing.
Yeah, my son does that at St. Dominic High School. They had a couple e-learning days this week.
Isn't that crazy?
And so he has to log on, and there's assignments there. Now I will say that most high schools, they have an iPad, and that's their books. That's everything on that iPad. So. You know, they were able to log on. The teachers had assignments I'm the announcer for St. Dominic, so basketball, football stuff. So I was talking to one of the teachers, and we were talking about the e-learning days, and they have assignments that they have to prepare and put on that e-learning for the student the next day. So, and then they have to grade them as well, and they got to be done. I think they got to log on by 9 o'clock in the morning, and you know, finish the schoolwork by 3:30.
Well, I think that's good, to be honest. But I mean, I know there's some issues, you know, who has Wi-Fi at home and different things. And I even heard there was like a little disclaimer at the end of the St. Pius article. It was like, some kids don't have Wi-Fi, amendment, you know, accommodations were made. So that happens. But shoot, kids have to learn.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm all for it. So
I don't know. When I was a kid, here I go. I sound like my dad now. When I was a kid, you know, I had to go to school. It didn't matter what. We didn't get snow days.
Oh, you know? You're just trudging through it.
And so. We went to the middle of June, you know, and started in the middle of August. So. I had to walk uphill both ways.
Oh, goodness. Well, cool. Well, thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Right. No problem. You were talking, actually, beforehand, you were talking about the auto show?
Yes. Okay. So I live in a bubble, and I don't know much about all that. Tell me. I mean, it sounds kind of cool. I would be interested to see all the fancy cars because I don't see many of those around where I'm from.
Well, I'll tell you what. So I'm a car guy. You know, I love cars. I mean, I love everything about them. I love, you know, the technology. I love the new cars. I love the old cars. So my wife, who has heard my stories from Tales of the Auto Shop, her, you know, most of her entire life, excuse me, loves to go to the auto shows. She is one that will love to go kick the tires on the cars, look around them, wants to see every car. She likes the technology, but she likes looking at the new cars as well. It's a lot of fun. We usually make it a Fiesta Damon Day and go there with the family. So it's a lot of fun, and the St. Louis Auto Show does it amazingly. They have tons of dealers there. They have tons of manufacturers there with all sorts of different product. They have the $1 million mile where you get to see these ungodly expensive vehicles that, it's really cool. And they got, Worldwide Technology Raceway's over there with a couple of race cars. Robert Height was over there earlier, NHRA, three-time NHRA funny car driver, and he has his dragster over there. There's all sorts of stuff to do to the kids. I know they got zip lines this year and all sorts of stuff. So, I mean, it's going to be a family affair.
Yeah, and it's not expensive to go to. I was like...
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the only thing is you got to pay for parking and then, ticket to get in. So we're supposed to have some folks. Doug Smith from the St. Louis Auto Association is going to call us, and we're going to talk a little about the auto show later in the program. So,
well, maybe I'll take my kids to it tomorrow.
It's a fun time. I'm telling you, it's a fun time.
Well, I'll tell you how it goes next time I see you.
That sounds good. That's Elise Rich. This is Greg Damon. This is the KMOX Auto Show. Again, folks, if you're driving down the hockey game, how excited are you that the All-Star Game is going on here in St. Louis? We're going to talk a little about that also in this program. Andy Strickland's going to join us. We also have NHRA funny car driver Robert Height. He's going to join us. And a little bit later in the program, we're going to talk to Eduardo Campos. Eduardo is a cybersecurity expert, and we're going to talk about hacking your vehicle. Can people hack your vehicle? You hear about all sorts of breaches on the internet. Can they do that to your car? We're going to visit with him. So all sorts of great stuff coming up. Also, John Bishy from Worldwide Technology Raceway. Big announcement this week, and we're going to talk to him also on the program. So all sorts of great stuff coming up here today on the KMOX Auto Show. But again, love to take your phone calls. What's that number? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Great time to be a hockey fan here in St. Louis. This is the KMOX Auto Show. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with John Bishy from Worldwide Technology Raceway. Stick around.
Oh, rapid roar, that stock car boy, eat too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes rolled up in his T-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby. He got another one that just say, hey. Whatever Sunday afternoon is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.
Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show. 5:17 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And let's go straight to the phones. How about we talk to Rich? Hey, Rich, guess what? You got the pole position today here on the KMOX Auto Show. Rich?
Hello.
Rich, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What can we do for you, Rich?
Got a 2014 Nissan Altima, 143,000 miles on it. And I have never changed the spark plugs or coils or anything like that. And I noticed that my gas mileage, which used to be around 44 miles a gallon up until about 81,000 miles when they changed the automatic transmission in it because it was slipping. I'm getting anywhere now from 32 to 38 miles a gallon. I'm just wondering if that's something that would be with the spark plugs and coils, or is that more to do with the transmission itself, you think?
Well, I can tell you, Rich, I think you're running on borrowed time. Those spark plugs were due to be replaced at 100,000 miles. They should be a platinum or iridium spark plug in that vehicle. I'm sure that the gap has widened up on it. You definitely should have the spark plugs replaced. I probably would recommend doing air induction cleaning to it at the same time. I'm sure the throttle body and the intake and the back of the intake valves and the top of the piston, I'm sure that's all carboned up. So I'd probably want to start with something like that. As far as the coils go, I mean, there's no really reason to replace the coils unless you have one misfiring. I would just go with start with something like that and go from there. I think that's probably the best course of action.
Okay. I mean, I work over in the Sabaton area there, not too far from you. It's just I can't get to you before you guys close.
Okay. Well, and, if you want to shoot me an email, I can certainly try to recommend somebody.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. No problem, Rich. Appreciate the phone call. And with that, folks, let's go to John Bishi. He is over at Worldwide Technology Raceways. I shouldn't say he's not there right now, but he's with PR over there at Worldwide Technology Raceway, and he's been kind enough to join us here on the program. How are you doing, John?
Not too bad. Thanks for having us on. Actually, I am in my office at the Speedway. Oh. I took the shuttle from the St. Louis Auto Show, and I'm in my office right now.
All right. Well, I know because I know you guys were over at the auto show earlier today, so I figured you still might be over there.
Yes.
Good.
Well, we split the schedule for the staff so that people don't have to stay for the entire morning, afternoon, and evening.
I got you.
And then I'll be going back tomorrow from 10 until it closes at 5:00.
So great crowds over at the auto show.
Yes, very good. Kind of surprised actually because it is so good because of the All-Star Game. You know, and that's 20,000 people, and a lot of them are guys, and guys are into cars. And then about, you know, we're kind of estimating, like, how many people are going to stay home and watch it, how many people are going to go to a bar or someplace and watch it. So we were all very pleasantly surprised to see the amount of people that we had this afternoon at the auto show.
Well, you know, the auto show is one of the biggest events here in St. Louis every year. It seems to get bigger and bigger. I love going to the auto show. It's a lot of fun, so...
Well, it is a lot of fun because it's not just our display. It's going and seeing what other people have to offer. You know, the new car dealers, the vintage cars that they bring in, the aftermarket people that they bring in, the other attractions. So there's something for everybody there, and it's just fun to be part of the scene, basically.
Yeah, I understand you guys had some pretty cool Indy cars. Robert Height's going to join us here on the program, and I kind of talked to him earlier and said he was sandwiched between you guys and Chevrolet.
Yes, he is. The AAA Missouri, the AAA insurance people, share a space with us at the auto show, which is very convenient because they have race cars, too. They had Robert Height's funny car, and they had Joey Logano's NASCAR Cup racer. So that's incorporated into our display area in the corner of the main hall. And then, of course, we have a 2019 IndyCar on display, courtesy of IndyCar. And then the Vintage Indy Registry brought us Mario Andretti's McLaren, Penske McLaren from the 80s, and then Jim Hurtubise's number 56 Indy Roadster. So they brought us two really swell cars. Plus we had, Jordan Anderson's NASCAR truck. We've got a display truck that's cut in half right down the middle so you can see what they look like on the inside. Bomarito has pace cars on display. There's a USAC Silver Crown car. We're just loaded with vehicles at our display and lots of free stuff to give away.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I mean, Worldwide Technology Raceway. John, I got to tell you, every year you guys get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, that's the goal. You know, Curtis wrote the big check to save the track back in 2012. You know, it was 2 weeks away from being dismantled and the grandstands were going to be sold for scrap metal. And he said, I can't let this track die. It's St. Louis. I'm from St. Louis. He actually won a race here in sports cars. So he wrote the big check to save the place and then had to start pouring money into the track. We're not corporately owned like SMI or or NASCAR's ISC tracks, he's the sole owner. So he had to invest a lot of his money into the track, repaving it. We repaved the road course, repaved the oval just before the IndyCar race, brought in Chris Blair. Chris Blair and Curtis together managed to bring NHRA national event back, NASCAR trucks back, and then IndyCar back. And, you know, we're always working on other things. We have about 350 event days over all of the venues at the Speedway.
Well, and that's
and
one.
They just acquired the golf course next door.
Oh, that's right. I was going to ask you about that as well. But yes. that was one thing that I think many folks don't realize, that you guys actually have way more events than what's just the, I guess, the big events that you have, you know, with the IndyCar and the trucks and the other events that go on over there.
Yes, we do. In fact, some days or some weeks at the drag strip, we're racing as many as 5 days a week. We have the Wide Open Wednesday, which is basically street legal drags run what you brung. That's sponsored by AAA Insurance. And then on Fridays, we have Midnight Madness, which again is to get the illegal street racers off the street and also to introduce people to drag racing. We've had everything from mom's minivan drag racing to a brand new Ferrari, which didn't do very well because they're not geared for straight line acceleration. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So we've had, and people come and drag race Teslas now too. We have an incredible array of vehicles on Midnight Madness nights because it's street legal. If it's got insurance and it's registered and it's got license plates, you can race it. So, you know, street bikes, motorcycles, just about everything. And then we have a bracket racing series for the local drag racers. And then we bring in special events and special classes, the Mother Road Rendezvous, which is a big rockabilly and hot rod event with nostalgia drag racing, the Midwest Pro Mods, PSCA, and the ADRL, the American Drag Racing League, UBDRA, Black Sunday. There's so much going on at this track. The best thing to do is pick up our brand new fan guide at the auto show this weekend, and you'll see the two-page schedule of everything that's happening here all year.
It's a fantastic venue. It's a fantastic venue for the fans. And let's face it, St. Louis fans, sports fans are great. They love all the events. I mean, it's just when you talk to these racers and things like that, they always talk about how great the fans are here in St. Louis.
They are. You know, not only Cardinals and Blue fans, but motorsports fans too. And they're just a tremendous fan base here. And you can see it in the other tracks that are around us, the short tracks, the paved ovals, the bullring dirt tracks and things like that, the other drag strips that are in this region. St. Louis area, Metro East Illinois fans love to watch cars race. And that's the entertainment that we're providing here at Worldwide.
So I wanted to talk a little about the truck race comes up. Some great news came out of NASCAR mm-hmm. this week, which is just, I mean, it just tickles me because I just, you know, over the years, want this to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes. Well, the race just gets better and better and better. And it's always been a standalone weekend until now. In 2020, NASCAR let us move the date, so we made it part of the IndyCar weekend. So the truck race is on Friday. The IndyCar race is on Saturday. And then NASCAR has decided to kind of experiment with pit stops and how they're conducted. If you remember way back to the truck series when it started, in fact, in 95, they were called the Super Truck Series before they became the Craftsman Truck Series and then evolved from there. There was a halftime break. So you didn't need to bring in high-priced athletes who were just professional pit crew people. They threw the caution at the halfway point of the race. And you, not leisurely, but you came in and you gassed up and you changed your tires and then they restarted the race. And that saved the teams a lot of money. And then when they started going to super speedways, it cost more. And then when pit stops started getting really important and critical, you know, a driver could be beating everybody on the track and then lose all of his positions in the pits if he has a bad pit stop. And it just got expensive. So NASCAR is experimenting with this, and we're one of the races that they're doing that. And then third, they decided to expand the playoffs for the truck series. So they created the round of 10, and we're the first race in the round of 10. So we are the first race of the year for the NASCAR playoffs for the championships. And they've also expanded the number of drivers who are eligible. Before, the playoffs were 8 drivers. Now the playoffs are 10 drivers. So the more the merrier. We're the first points race where they're experimenting with the pit stops. It just gets better and better because now it's part of the IndyCar weekend. So you have the Bomarito Automotive Group 500 for IndyCars. You have the 200 for the NASCAR Truck Series. The ARCA Midwest Series, which are super late models, was just added. Indy Lights and Indy Pro 2000 Series come with IndyCar. And then Vintage Indy Registry, the open wheel vintage cars, put on an exhibition. So that's 6 classes of racing over the weekend for the fans to watch.
It's always amazing. That's a huge feather for you guys over there for getting all that stuff. And I want to talk about one of my favorite races. The Silver Crowns are going to be back this year.
Yes, the Silver Crown Series is coming back on Sunday, August 2nd. They're going to be coming with the ARCA Menard Series, which is very similar to the NASCAR Cup Series. When I started in this business, well, when I moved from Buffalo to Charlotte to start working in NASCAR, the ARCA teams were just basically buying the Cup cars after they had been used up or teams decided to build new cars. So the ARCA Series, you were watching Cup cars in the ARCA Series too. And we're going to have stock cars and open wheel on the same day on Sunday, August 2nd.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a big fan of the Silver Crown cars. I love it that they run on dirt, and I love it they run on pavement. So,
yeah, it's very interesting when they run on pavement because, as you know, they've got to fill the gas tank up, and you know that's a big gas tank behind the driver, and it affects the way the car handles. And then as you burn that gas, your car gets lighter and lighter, and it changes the handling of the car. So, it's very interesting racing.
Yes, absolutely. No doubt about that. You guys, I mean, it's just amazing all the events that you have. We're going to have Robert Hyde on here in just a few minutes. And the drag racing here at Worldwide Technology Raceway is really some of the best in the country.
Yes, it is. We've got a good track. We've got a good crew. We have very good track prep here. And most important, we have an excellent fire and safety crew here. You never want to see a rider or a racer have a problem, but if they do, if it's an oil down or an engine explosion, we can clean it up pretty quick, make the track safe again. Or if there's a crash and maybe an injury, we can take care of that too. All of our people are trained EMTs. They're firemen. We're not just some guy in an undershirt with a fire extinguisher running up the track. We've got pros here. And it has to be. It has to be safe. Otherwise, we can't do it.
Absolutely. But the NHRA race, that is actually the best thing about it is every ticket's a pit pass, and you get to go into the pits and watch these guys tear these cars apart, put them back together, and fire them up. Kind of amazing.
Yes. Access. It's all about the access. Anytime, you know, if you think about it, you go to a baseball game, they're not going to let you in the locker room. You go to a football game or a hockey game, they're not going to let you in the locker room. Well, basically, when you buy a ticket to an NHRA national event, you're in the locker room because you can walk right up to them. You know, if John Force is standing in his pit area and he's not real busy, he'll come up and talk to you. He'll sign autographs. He'll say, you know, you want to look at this or you want to look at that, or, you know, scoot under the rope and I'll show you and we'll get a quick picture. You don't have that access in any other kind of professional sports. And the national event here just keeps getting bigger and bigger. We've on our third consecutive Saturday sellout where every ticket for the race was sold.
It's just amazing. Well, John, for folks with more information about Worldwide Technology Raceway, where can they go?
Go directly to our website. It's www.wwtraceway.com. And we also have a Facebook page, and you can follow us on Twitter, too.
Or if you're going to the St. Louis Auto Show, stop by the booth.
Yes, and come home with armfuls of free swag. Yes.
All right. Sounds great. John, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Greg, thank you for having us on. It's always a pleasure.
Anytime. Thanks so much. That's John Bishi from over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Folks, you got to check out their website. You got to go over there. Fantastic racing. The Indy racing is unbelievable. If you like IndyCar racing, you like open wheel racing, this is one of the best tracks that they run at. The Craftsman Truck Series, or it's not Craftsman anymore, but the Truck Series is phenomenal. Always voted one of the best races of the year right here in our own backyard. This is the KMOX Auto Show. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. How about Robert Height coming up? Stick around.
Well, I'm a rolling daddy with a mean machine. It's got a V8 motor that sure is clean. I'm a hot rod man. Yeah, I'm a hot rod man. Look out, little mama, gonna get you if I can.
Welcome back to the KMOX Auto Show. 5:39 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And, folks, I want to talk a little about a couple things that we had happen here at the shop this week. One of the things that really kind of I really wanted to talk about was I had a customer that came in, was talking about the their vehicle, how that the started to overheat. She thought it was a radiator. She took it to a shop. They installed a radiator for her. Okay. The check engine light came on. She still had an issue with it. She brought it to us. We looked at it and come to find out had a bad thermostat. Didn't need a radiator. They didn't replace it because it was leaking. They just replaced the radiator. So we replaced the thermostat, took it. When we got the thermostat out, the seal had actually come apart and was keeping the thermostat open, thereby causing the check engine light to come on because the car would not heat up to the proper temperature. So it couldn't go into fuel control. So the computer seeing how hot it was, wasn't getting hot enough, turns on the check engine light. And it all turns out because of a bad thermostat. And she paid to have this radiator installed at a different shop. And I just wondered to myself, you know, how do businesses or how do technicians, professional technicians, not diagnose it properly and figure out what's going on with it? Especially if there's an issue, why would you sell a part that you may or may not know is going to take care of that? Why wouldn't you diagnose it properly? And it just goes to find out. That's what I'd like to know from you folks out there. If you're having an issue, if you've taken it somewhere where they supposedly fix your problem and they do not. To me, this is kind of bad business for folks. If they do that, it's really good to diagnose it properly. Don't throw parts at it. Diagnose it properly. Then repair it the way it's supposed to be done, and you're done with it. So I'll get off my soapbox right now. Hey, joining us here on the program is Doug Smith from the St. Louis Auto Dealers Association, and he is down at the St. Louis Auto Show. Doug, how are you? Let's try this. Only 20 years in the business, Doug. You figure I'd know how to do this at one point in time in my life. So sorry about that. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So St. Louis Auto Show, I've already had a couple people that have been at the St. Louis Auto Show talk about how big it is today and great crowds.
Great crowds. We're going open. We're still open until 10 o'clock this evening. So we've seen a really, really nice run of attendance today. A lot of things to see down here, a lot of things to do. It's been a really nice event so far.
Yeah, you know, St. Louis Auto Show, you guys do it. You do it right. You put it together correctly. It is a lot of fun. Not only is it a lot of fun for car guys like me, but for anybody that comes down there, you guys have it. It's fun for the entire family because you got something for everybody.
That is absolutely right, and thank you very much for the compliment. We do have a little something for everything from a kids zone, which is sponsored by Chevrolet, Mid-America Chevy Dealers. We've got Subaru does a pet adoption at some of their shows, and they were gracious enough to do that with us this year. So in the Subaru area, there's a pen that has several different puppies and dogs that are available for adoption. A really nice event. Kids love that. We've got a green area that is sponsored by Ameren Electric, where there's about a half dozen electric vehicles that people, if they're having interest in electric vehicles or they've got questions about electric vehicles, is a great venue for them to come and ask about those kind of things too. We've got our motorcycle show again this year, UTVs, ATVs. We've got the exotics, the $1 Million Mile, which is always a huge draw. And then this is just a good car market. Even if you're in the market to buy, or you're not quite in the market to buy, it's just, there's a lot of enthusiasm about the automotive world, and and what the technology is and what's the next big thing, and it's a really good opportunity. Plus, we have the new Corvette on display also, which to me, you know, my humble opinion is it's maybe the most impactful sports car, American sports car, in the last 50, 60 years. So a lot of stuff to see and do.
I will second your nomination on the Corvette. I think that's it's not only you know, the hype that's been going around it for several years, but it seems to have delivered on that.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's like nothing you've ever seen from an American automaker in terms of sports car. And I don't mean that the other American automakers aren't making great sports cars and muscle cars, but this is something, when you see it, you have to ask someone, what is that? And that's never been the case with a Corvette before.
So it's a lot of fun for everybody to come down. You can kick the tires on the cars, look around, sit in a lot of the vehicles. You brought up something about the technology, which is something that I absolutely love. I love seeing the new technology in all these vehicles.
Yes. Absolutely. I know that people refer to the 50s and 60s as the golden age of the automobile. I really think we're in a new kind of renaissance period for the automobile, whether it's a domestic manufacturer or an international manufacturer. The technology that you're seeing in the vehicles now is really different and more impactful to the daily driver than it probably has been in the last 35 years, with vehicle-to-vehicle communications, hand-free technology, GPS, all the different things that are out there. You know, it's really incredible to see. And the pace that the technology is changing is so quick. I mean, the things that are happening that were talked about, you know, 2 and 3 years ago are now reality. So the manufacturers have really upped, you know, how they design and how they engineer. And you're really starting to see that regardless of the price of the vehicle, whether it's a, you know, a $22,000 starter vehicle or something that's a little more luxurious and the, you know, in the upper 50s or 60s, you're seeing the same kind of technology used in both models.
I'll throw in safety as well, that the technology has really come apart on, because we're seeing more and more folks, you know, have accidents and they walk away, you know, virtually unscathed.
That is absolutely true. The safety is going hand in hand with the technology, and that's a great thing. You know, you see more vehicles on the road. You know, there's a love affair with the American automobile. There always has been, and I think the St. Louis metro area is really kind of a microcosm of all that. You know, people look at car, they romanticize vehicles, they remember those cars, they remember their first car, you know, they want the car that is going to give them an identity. And I always say the two biggest things, not just in St. Louis, but in the state of Missouri, are desirability and affordability. You know, you want a car that you desire, but you can afford, and, you know, you want that to be an extension of your personality.
No, you're absolutely correct. And that's one of the things about the St. Louis Auto Show. As I said, you get to come down, sit in all the cars, you get to look at the new cars, you get to touch the new cars. Maybe not the Corvette or the Million Dollar Mile, but most of the other ones you can go up and actually see what's going on with them. And not only that, but get to talk to not necessarily sales folks, but there's also manufacturer representatives there.
This is a consumer show, so you do have some sales folks on the sales floor, but it's a low-pressure environment. You know, we kind of design it that way. We want people to come in and feel relaxed. The car buying process is sometimes can be stressful. You can talk to industry experts. You can talk to factory experts, people that are specifically trained on these models, and they can answer all your questions. They can tell you, you know, tow weight, or they can tell you, you know, fuel economy, or they can tell you, you know, anything you might want to know about that vehicle. It's a really good opportunity, like I said, in a low-stress environment. You can come in with your family. You can have a cocktail. You can have dinner here if you want, and just kind of, you know, just relax and go about maybe looking at a new vehicle for your future.
Now, you talked about the green vehicles, the same way with the technology there, but I know there's a lot of folks that are kind of on the fringe of those green vehicles, whether it be hybrid cars, all-electric cars, whatever, but you have manufacturer representatives there. If you want to go ask questions, great time to do it.
Absolutely. Yes, it sure is. And, you know, there's always some apprehension with electric vehicles. It's the wave of the future. You know, the electric vehicle, every manufacturer's fleet is getting larger with their electric vehicle options or their plug-in electric hybrid options. And you're going to see that continue. So, you know, there are questions about range and you know, charging habits and those kind of things. And this is another good venue to get together with those folks that can give you really certified answers.
Is Tesla representative there this year?
We do have a couple Teslas on display, one in the Ameren area, and then There's a couple other on display on the show, sales floor, or excuse me, the show floor as well.
Oh, good, because that's what I know. A lot of folks have, it seems to see you're starting to see more and more Teslas on the road today, and I think folks have a lot of questions about that.
I would say about 60% of all the Teslas sold in the state of Missouri are sold in the St. Louis marketplace.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's a popular vehicle, no question.
Now let's talk a little about one of my favorite places, the Million Dollar Mile. What kind of cars do you have on display there?
We got about 12 different varieties, two or three Ferraris, the kind of highlight car that we had the Bugatti Veyron here last year. The highlight car is we have a 2019 918 Spyder GT, which, there's only a couple thousand of those in the world. These have all been given to us to display for this weekend by Dean Team. Bill and Pat Dean are gracious enough to do that for us. We've got a couple Aston Martins, a Rolls Royce, a couple Mercedes. So these are, in my opinion, works of art. They just happen to have an engine and four tires. The design, the lines, the technology that's in them, it's really something.
And you also have vintage cars?
We do. The Horseless Carriage group has been a participant in our show for a long time. So we've got a little bit of everything from, some 1920 models to we've got a couple of DeLoreans on display. The Corvette Club of St. Louis has also got a display here as well. They've got a couple dozen vehicles that are displayed. And the Porsche Club of St. Louis has also got a display as well. Von Gittens is here with his drifting team. They're doing some drifting demonstrations. We've got one more of those tonight. I think it begins at 7 o'clock. We got the guys from the Custom Car Studio, also, with us this year, and, we're happy to have them as well.
Now I know, as I said, this is a family affair. My wife loves, earlier, I don't know if you were listening, but I was telling our news reporter, my wife's had to listen to my tales from the auto shop, every day of her life.
Sure.
And I'm a car guy. Every car guy loves new cars, old cars, everything else. My wife loves to go to the auto show. She absolutely loves it. She loves to go down and kick the tires. She likes sitting in all the cars. She likes looking at all the cars from, just regular daily drivers all the way up till the Million Dollar Mile and stuff like that. But here's what I think you guys kind of got to market on is you make it a family affair. And you have stuff for your kids as well. So you don't have to get a babysitter. You can bring the kids down. I understand you guys have zip lines in there this year?
We do. Yeah, we've had a zip line for 3 or 4 years. And it basically goes the length of the dome, and it's a popular feature. The kids zone has a bunch of stuff, bungee jumping, bounce house, some video games, plenty of activities for them. If they want a zip line, there is a charge for $10. You can zip line the length of the dome. And it gives the kids, something to do while mom and dad are maybe looking at the business end of a car. So, like I said, I appreciate the compliment again. We've tried to be inclusive as possible. We've got the entire America Center and the Dome utilized for space. And, we really try to deliver for what the St. Louis consumer wants in a consumer show every year.
I do have one other question. I know at times like Southern Bus Mobility have been there. Do you have cars on display for folks that may be handicapped or disabled?
Southern Bus did not participate with us this year. They had a conflict, so we were sorry not to have them here. We don't have a lot of those options, but some of the vehicles that we have on display from the manufacturers can those are questions that the OEM representatives can answer about whether this can be utilized for folks with disabilities to allow them to drive them.
So if folks want to come down there, you're there till 10 o'clock tonight.
10 o'clock tonight. We open up at 10 a.m. tomorrow and run till 5. Tickets can be purchased at the door, at the 9th Street box office or at the in the America Center box office. They're $12 at the door, $10 if you get them online. And it's a really good value. We haven't fluctuated our prices too much on tickets. They've stayed pretty steady the last few years, and there's not a lot of venues that you can or events that you can say do that. So we're pretty proud of the fact that we've been able to keep our prices very affordable for a family.
And pretty much parking all around the dome.
There is. Now parking's going to be somewhat problematic with the NHL All-Star game and a lot of the happenings going on downtown. But if you go, there's an app called Spot Hero. If you use that. It'll tell you some available locations and pricing and those kind of things. So, but there is plenty of ample parking, and you may have to walk a couple blocks, but there should be enough parking for anybody that's interested in coming down.
And also, one last thing, you talked about you do have some adult beverages, not only that, but food for folks as well?
We do. We got full concessions here. You know, the concession stands are open. They'll be open until the close of business tonight. And you got so many great options in and around, the Washington Street and the Convention Center area. So there's always something down there. But we do have beer, cocktails, for a charge, of course. But we want to make it a nice event and a nice party for whoever wants to come.
Well, Doug, I want to thank you so much for joining us, spending some of your time with us here on the KMOX Auto Show on this Saturday night, talking about the St. Louis Auto Show, one of the great events here that is put on every year here in St. Louis. For folks, again, if they want more information about this, where can they go?
StLouisAutoShow.com, and thank you so very much for the time. I really appreciate it.
All right, fantastic. That's Doug Smith from the St. Louis Auto Dealers Association joining us here on the program and talking a little about the St. Louis Auto Show. Folks, if you haven't been, I suggest go and see it. It's a lot of time, or it's a lot of fun to go do it. You can bring your family. Always a great time. And the great technology that's on the floor. As I said, I love the technology in these cars. And if you haven't seen new cars recently, you need to get out and check out all the features that they have, from driver comforts, creature comforts for yourself, all the way up to the safety, as I was talking about, with the advancement, with radar out the front of your car. You have the mirrors that light up when somebody's in your blind spot. And all the way back to, some cars have automatic braking if they detect that you're going too fast into a car or pedestrian. Cameras all out on all over the cars today. The technology is just there. As you hear me say all the time here on the KMOX Auto Show, your car is not just a car anymore. It's a rolling computer, and you have to ask it to roll down the window. You have to ask it to turn on the air conditioning or anything like that. If it checks out and it's okay, it'll turn it on for you. But you have to get out and see it. Not only that, some of the creature comforts as well in these new cars. I'm a guy you hear me talk about all the time. I don't like to sit in a car and have my knee against the door panel and my knee against the console. You got to get out and see some of this stuff. Heated steering wheels today, heated seats, ventilated seats, air conditioning seats, all sorts of great stuff. And that's going to about wrap up this hour of the KMOX Auto Show. Don't worry, though. We got a whole nother hour coming up. Stick around, my friends.
Now, KMOX at your service. It's the KMOX Auto Show. Now, here's your host, Greg Damon.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest. A gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway. So watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the KMOX Auto Show here on a Saturday at your service. Great time to be in St. Louis. All sorts of stuff going on. Hockey game going on over here. The St. Louis Auto Show going on. All sorts of great stuff going on tonight here in St. Louis. Hey, if you got a question or query in the Wacker World of Automotive, I'll be more than happy to try to answer it. Here's the phone numbers, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. My name is still Greg Damon, and yes, I still am the host of the KMOX Auto Show. And if you are a little shy, you don't want to get on, you can always email me, kmoxautoguy@gmail.com, kmoxautoguy@gmail.com. Just that easy. Again, 314-436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Let's take a quick break. We come back. Robert Height's going to join us here on the KMOX Auto Show. Stick around.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down. It happened on the strip where the road is wide. Two cool shorts standing side by side.
Welcome back, my friends, to the KMOX Auto Show. Well, I got to tell you, our next guest, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He is three-time NHRA Funny Car Champ, good friend of the KMOX Auto Show, Robert Height, joins us here on the program. How you doing, Robert?
Doing good, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Love to have you on. Great guest, as always. Thank you so much for always helping us out and coming on the program. So down here in St. Louis today for the auto show, the St. Louis Auto Show. Not only that, got the funny car there in the stall, too.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because this was the first time I'm actually getting to see my car in person. You know, it's an Indy. My car is all winter, and I haven't been able to get back there much lately. So this was the first time I got to see the new paint design in person, and I'm pretty pumped about going testing next weekend.
Yeah, it's all hard to believe that that really you're starting the season here just, you know, in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's crazy. It doesn't seem like we've had much time off. It's been a, you know, pretty busy winter for us with, you know, getting all the cars funded and the sponsors lined up and everything. But the good news is basically our teams are still intact. And, you know, I feel that at the end of last year, we had the best four-car team that John Force Racing has ever had. So I'm looking to carry that momentum into 2020. And, you know, we'll be testing in Vegas starting Thursday. And then the following Friday, it's back at Pomona and do it all over again.
It's just absolutely crazy to think that it's here already. It just seems like we just spoke to you after the championship here a couple weeks ago.
It's flown by. But I'll be honest, spending the day with all the NHRA fans at the St. Louis Auto Show, you know, that really even got me more pumped to get back and get to racing. Everybody coming up and congratulating me on winning the championship. And, you know, the year before, all they wanted to talk about at the St. Louis Auto Show was me crashing when I was in St. Louis in the final round and blowing the body off. So this year we had, you know, something really, really good to talk about and celebrate. And it was good to be back with the fans today. That was a lot of fun.
So now does that get you even more energized? Now you've seen your car. Now you're able to talk to the fans. You gotta have goosebumps, man. You gotta be ready to roll.
I can't wait. You know, going out there with you know, a number one on the side of the car. That's what you work all year for. But you know, we got a number one on the side of the car and a target on our back because everybody's wanting that number one back from us. So I feel that, you know, with Jimmy Parrott, Chris Cunningham, and my whole team coming back, staying together, that, you know, we can roll into testing. We're going to try some new things next week. And if they don't work well, we're going to go to Pomona exactly the way we left off and contend, you know, for the Winter Nationals win. But with any luck and a lot of hard work, if some of these new ideas that the guys have worked on all winter, if they pay off, we might have a little advantage. So only time will tell. Can't wait to get in there and make some runs and see what the guys have come up with.
Now you're kind of an old school racer, and what I mean by that is, I mean, you just don't come in and drive. You've actually, you know, worked on these cars before and have input and everything else. How much input do you have today?
Well, I really don't. I used to have a little more, but I'm so busy with you know, the media and running things with John that I don't get to, you know, be involved with the car as much as I used to. They keep me filled in on what they're doing and what's going on because I'm very interested, and I talk to them daily. So, you know, I'm excited about all that. But I still, to this day, I still miss getting out there and working with the team, getting my hands dirty, and even sometimes jumping in the truck and driving to the next race. You know, those were a lot of fun days.
Yeah, absolutely. Great memories with that, no doubt about it. I want to get kind of circle back to the St. Louis Auto Show. Obviously, at the St. Louis Auto Show, all the new cars are there. Did you get a chance to walk around a little bit?
I did. But it was this was really a cool setup this year for me because we were right by the Gateway Group, you know, and they had all of their stuff on display and Indy cars. But I was sandwiched between them and Chevrolet, so getting to go over there and meet the Chevrolet folks. Oh, exactly, and seeing all the new Chevy vehicles. In fact, they had a truck in there that I have on order. It's High Country HD, and it's a beast. So I'm excited to get that. But it's just really, really good to get back with the fans. And like I've said, you know, 100 times, the St. Louis fans are the best in all of sports, not just auto racing, but sports. So you know, I was pretty amazed last night when I rolled into town and see how just the whole town was buzzing with the All-Star game going for hockey and everything that's going on. And I honestly didn't know what to expect. Is that going to take away from the auto show? But it didn't. The place was packed. A lot of good people there, and it was fun to hang out with them today.
Yeah, it's kind of a great time to be a St. Louis, and no doubt with all sorts of stuff going on, and you know, with the Blues winning the Stanley Cup last year and the All-Star game this year, St. Louis has set records for the amount of fan participation in every event. It's kind of crazy.
That's a good thing. And hey, I'm sure everybody from St. Louis, now that the Rams are gone, are probably rooting for, you know, the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl next week, huh? Is that right?
That's right. Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you got to watch any of the skills competition for hockey last night, but Ryan O'Reilly, who's a St. Louis Blue that is in the All-Star game, he actually came out for pregame warm-ups with a Chiefs helmet on.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Chiefs myself. Honestly, I wanted to see them in Green Bay, you know, in the Super Bowl, and I probably still would have rooted for the Chiefs. I like the way Patrick Mahomes plays, and just that whole team, they're the real deal, and it's fun to watch them.
Yeah, absolutely, and good stuff for Andy Reid, the coach, as well. So, and you know, he's a good coach.
I just wish they were playing in cold weather. I think they would have even more of an advantage.
I agree.
Rather than down in the sunshine in Miami.
I agree. I agree 100%. I would have liked to see the Chiefs in Green Bay too. That's who I root for, but a little disappointed last week, but I'm definitely a Chiefs fan this week.
That's good. That's good. So, you know, I'm from California, and I'm not a 49ers fan. So go Chiefs.
There you go. So, Robert, now I want to get back a little bit about the season coming up. So, you know, what do you do to kind of decompress from the season, and then how do you roll into the new season?
Well, the way we won the championship last year, I mean, going down to basically the semifinals, and all the pressure that was put on us, it was nice to get that one over. I mean, it was I'm not a big fan of NHRA's playoff point system. You know, they want it to go down to the last day, and I get it for the fans and drama, but you know, you're potentially throwing away a great season by how you perform the last day of the year.
Sure.
Okay, it comes down to one day. Yet we race for, you know, 9 months straight. And so that puts a lot of added pressure on the team and the driver and everything else. You know, we had the best car all year long. We won the most races. We led the points from start to finish. But in the semifinal round, had anything gone wrong, I screwed up, been late, anything, it would have been over for us. So basically, Matt Hagan and I, it came down to the two of us, and even he would have had to have gone on to win the race to be the champ, or it would have been him or Beckman. So that was a pressure cooker, and I was ready to get that over, get it behind us, do a little celebrating, and start, you know, thinking about next year, because you can't get too complacent. You can't celebrate for too long. It's it all starts again, and you want to continue this winning and domination. So I'm ready to go back, that's for sure. It's gone quick. You spend some time at the holidays with family, and then it's back to work and hitting it hard. It's a, you know, basically, you know, all year job, but it's you can't really look at it as a job. It's what we love to do. We're very fortunate to get to do it. And I'm just so glad that Pomona's back. And one of the biggest questions I got today was, and everybody wanted to talk about, was that big burnout I did at the finals. And people want to know if I'm going to continue doing that. And, you know, that got a lot of hype and attention.
Yeah, the fans absolutely went crazy when you did that.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, one of these days I'm going to pull it off to where, you know, I kind of messed it up. I got on the brakes way too hard. I burnt extra fuel, and I didn't want to mess Beckman up in the final there. So I got on the brakes real hard, and as I put it in reverse, the thing died. Well, all the fuel went to the front of the tank because I had burned extra fuel. So next time, you know, I won't drive the same way. We'll start our car sooner. I'll slow down a little gingerly, and, you know, get back to the starting line. And I want to see if we can make a real good run with a long burnout, because fans love that stuff. And I do too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people just take so much notice of that. And let's face it, you know, all of us racing fans, we love to see that kind of crazy stuff. Absolutely. You know, we love to see you win the championship as well. But, you know, when you do stuff like that, I mean, the fans just eat that up.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, sometimes we're here for the fans. We're here to put on a great show. And, you know, I get that the crew chiefs want, you know, consistency. And these cars, when you're dealing with 11,000 horsepower, every little thing matters. Temperature, you know, everything. Weight balance, how much fuel you've burned, all that stuff really matters. But we got to put a show on for the fans. And, you know, I remember when I was a fan going to the races, loved the long burnouts, loved seeing the teams whack the throttle. So sometimes I think we need to get back to some of that and figure out how to run our car while we still, you know, entertain the fans.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. I wanted to talk a little about something that you brought up about how, you know, you're more involved with the media and stuff like that. Obviously now three-time champion. How does that sound and feel to you? And how much more do you have to deal with the media?
It has been a lot. And, you know, I think I noticed it a lot today at the auto show with the lines I had and, you know, signing autographs for, you know, 2.5 straight hours. And that usually only happens to me when I'm sitting next to John Force. So, you know, that's cool. And then, you know, when you've won three now, that puts you kind of in an elite group. It's, you know, John, the Snake, Kenny Bernstein, Raymond Beadle. I can't even believe that, you know, my name is mentioned with those guys. And four, that puts you even, you know, an even, you know, more elite group. So that's what we're shooting for. We want to win another one this year. And I really believe we have all the pieces to do it. Just got to get back at it.
All right, well, Robert, man, I tell you what, we are certainly rooting for you to be have the number four champion added to your name as well. You're certainly the fan favorite here in St. Louis, no doubt about it. Continued success. We're going to check in with you all throughout the year and love talking to you here on the KMOX Auto Show.
Call me anytime. You got my number.
All right. Fantastic, Robert. Thanks again for joining us on the program. Have a safe trip home, and we'll talk real soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That's Robert Height, three-time NHRA Funny Car Champion. This is Greg Damon. You're listening to the KMOX Auto Show. We'll be back right after this. But it was Saturday. Welcome back, my friends, to the KMOX Auto Show. 6:27 is your timing, and joining us here on the program, we're going to have some fun with this, I guarantee it. Eduardo Campos joins us here on the program, and he is the co-author of From Problem Solutions to Solution Design, Turning Ideas into Actions, and he's a cybersecurity expert. Eduardo, thanks so much for joining us here on the program.
My pleasure.
All right, so the big question is, Eduardo, that... You know, cars technology has just gotten so sophisticated over the years, and we're hearing all sorts of stuff about how hackers are getting in through the internet, getting in through sites of companies and stuff like that. What about for automobiles? Is there a problem, or could there be a problem, with folks hacking into automobiles?
Yes, there's a possibility, yes. We saw a recent report from Upstream, showing that until June 2019, we had 277 incidents with connected cars, but that includes not only incidents with us drivers, but also in the supply chain with the companies that are creating the cars, the companies that are operating the cars, the fleet managers. So definitely, it's growing very fast.
Well, we've always heard that, you know, when you have a key fob, you really shouldn't use the lock button on your key fob, because there could be somebody sitting in a parking lot and grab that code from your key fob and unlock your car. You should always lock it by the button. I mean, is this going to get into the point where with our computer that drives our car, is somebody going to be able to get in there and slow us down or take control away from us?
What I can say is that if it is easy for the driver is going to forget cybersecurity. So what the manufacturers are doing, or the car manufacturers are doing, is creating additional layers of security so that you can use your car fob, because it is the communication between your car and your car fob is encrypted. We are not there yet. Some manufacturers' car are investing heavily to make that happen. It's getting better, but the driver will always opt in for what is easy, not for what it is complicated.
I understand. I kind of want to take this a step further, because on the horizon, obviously, you know, we're starting to see electric cars, hybrid cars. We keep talking about self-driving cars, you know, that communicate in real time back with the cloud and other stuff too. I mean, this has got to be certainly a portal, I think, for hackers to get in.
It is. And when we look at the details of the report, and there are two or three additional reports, one by the giants of insurance in Switzerland, Swissre, we see that we can divide the attacks by categories. We have the ones that are closer to us that are focused on the driver, like what you mentioned, hacking the communication between the key fob and the car. But then you step back, and there's the hacking of the car itself, because the car is today connected to the internet. And as we move ahead, we're going to have driverless cars talking to – we are going to have a car-to-car communication. We are going to have vehicle-to-traffic light communication. It's another way to hack. And then if we move step back even more, we're going to see the hacking of the applications that are going to be used in connection with your car. It could be your music application. It could be your phone application. And then if we go even back, hackers can attack the manufacturing plant and attack the structure of the car and go to the what we call firmware, that is the software that is embedded in the car. So for each one of those categories, there are recommended actions to mitigate the threat. The problem that I see, Greg, is that we have to raise awareness with us drivers before anything, because the manufacturers are under regulations. They are going to be forced to improve cybersecurity in this case. But us drivers, we can start with very small steps.
Well, you know, I as far as drivers go, what can you do if you're a driver? How can you prevent cybers, or how can you prevent hackers from you know, accessing your infotainment center or accessing, you know, your braking system or anything else?
So if it's your car, it's a little bit easier, because you can have a password for your control center, your entertainment center in the more modern cars. But one simple thing that happens: I rent a car, I have my phone connected to the car, I have my home address connected to the GPS, I have all the place I go in the entertainment center and the GPS. When I return the car, I usually, because I'm a cybersecurity professional, I go and I delete everything. There are ways that to erase all the information. But what is usually common to see when I rent a new car, the previous renter, forgot to erase the data. So all the information, all the personal phones, all of their contacts are there, downloaded to the entertainment center, into the phone center. The home address is there. I could go to his or her home because I have all the data there. I can phone friends and fake that I am the driver, the previous driver. So there are certain steps that are easier to take than just think about the complication of cyber attacks in the supply chain that we as drivers could take.
Yeah, you bring up a great point there. I never even thought of that, although I ran into that personally in Dallas renting a car. And it was through an OnStar through GM where I pressed it, and they said the guy's name that I guess had the car before me and his address and stuff. And I'm like, nope.
So. Yes, exactly. The other thing that happens, Greg, is when you sign up to services like OnStar and there are other similar services for other brands, you can opt out to put off features that are not going to bring you any benefit. For example, sharing your information with the third parties that are partners with the brand, the car brand.
Sure.
You can opt out, and that will protect you. The less information you give without getting anything in return, the better. Because if you are just giving away your information, you will become the product.
So as you said, you know, they can come to your house or whatever. They'll have all your information, and who knows if it downloads other information off your smartphone as well.
Exactly. The other thing is when you are driving a car that you are not the owner and you don't know, don't download your information. Don't allow a full access to from the entertainment center or from the phone center onto your phone, because many times that it's going to download something. It can download something into your phone. So instead of just being worried about the big things that can happen, they can happen, they will happen, they are happening, that is hacking cars that are connected to the internet. For now, they are those are a very particular cases. We could, as drivers, take those small steps and pay attention if something is, if the car center is trying to download something on my phone, or if my information is downloaded, my entire contact list is downloaded to the entertainment center, and then act on that, what is under our control.
And I guess that's also if you have a car that you've done that to and you go to trade it in or sell it, that's something else that you need to do. You know, and it's funny because even your garage door, you know, you have the home link button above, and many people don't erase even their garage door code.
That's a great point. I saw a case where my neighbor was trying to use his garage door, but the garage door was affecting the other neighbor's garage door. And because it was a common code, nobody had changed the code that comes with the garage door opener.
Right.
So you need to pay attention to those small details, and you are going to be protected with the basic cybersecurity.
Well, Eduardo, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us here on the KMOX Auto Show. Man, come back and see us real soon. We'd love to talk some more about this and about getting into some of the computer stuff for the cars. Would you be able to do that?
Count on me on that. Your show is great to hear, and I would love to come back.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much, Eduardo, and we'll talk real soon.
Thank you.
That's Eduardo Campos, who is a cybersecurity expert. And I got to tell you, folks, it's something we're going to keep abreast on here on the KMOX Auto Show. We'll see what happens with that. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Stick around. Welcome back, my friends, to the KMOX Auto Show. Well, you know, a lot of big events going on in St. Louis this weekend, and I believe there's a hockey game going on. I thought I heard. So I invited my good friend Andy Strickland. He's an NHL analyst, and also he's the Blues sideline reporter for Fox Sports Midwest, and he's been kind enough to join us here on the program. Andy, how are you?
What's going on, Greg? Everything's well, man. Everything's good.
Everything is fantastic. Yes. Absolutely.
Good.
So, Andy, I heard that there was some sort of hockey game going on tonight. Is it something going on?
A little bit, yeah. That's the word. Apparently, Connor McDavid may be in town. You may have David Pastrnak, maybe four Blues here as well, and maybe even a Chief behind the bench in Craig Berube. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a hockey game going on, and if you just go downtown right now, you walk around, you see thousands and thousands of people. And it really is good, Greg. I mean, obviously, to have the celebration for the game and the celebration of the National Hockey League. And, you know, it's amazing the timing of it all when you consider the Blues won the Stanley Cup just a few months ago. And, you know, at the time when they found out they were getting the All-Star game, you know, the Blues were sitting in last place. They weren't even thinking about the playoffs, let alone the Stanley Cup. And all of a sudden things had changed quickly, and it couldn't have come at a better time.
No, you're absolutely right. And think about that. They were, as you said, in last place. They may only have one person going to the All-Star game, but now we've got a plethora of folks in the All-Star game.
Yeah, they have four players here. You know, it's been a long time since the Blues have had four players, you know, representing the team and in an All-Star game. So, I mean, it's amazing, you know, and they deserve it. When you look at the first half these guys have had, you know, led by, you know, you start with the goaltender, then you get to Alex Pietrangelo, who is having a career year. You know, offensively, he leads all defensemen in power play goals and power play points as well, and, you know, plays a ton of minutes, and obviously just playing his consistent, usual hockey that we, you know, come to expect from him. But then David Perron is having a breakout season, being a point-per-game guy and scoring some big goals. He leads the National Hockey League in game-winning goals. So, you know, he's been really, really strong for this team and probably been their most consistent offensive player. And Ryan O'Reilly, we all know that he's a five-tool player. He can do everything that you can do to impact a hockey game and then some. So, listen, it's great to have the local flair, not to mention, you know, the St. Louis kids and Matthew and Brady Tkachuk, who are also here. So there's a lot of reason to celebrate T.J. Oshie is back here in St. Louis. It's been so much fun. It's great to see so many people who come from out of town, Greg, get a glimpse and an idea of what kind of hockey market we have here in St. Louis. And I think people are going to walk away from the game here tonight being even more impressed than they have been already.
No, I agree 100% with you, Andy. You've also forgot to – you kind of brought up the Chief, Craig Berube, obviously the Blues coach, going to be behind the bench tonight as well. So a lot of great Blues – familiarity in the game here tonight. Andy, I did want to ask you this. You know, you kind of brought up about the Blues being in last place, won the Stanley Cup, having the All-Star game. It's a great time to be a hockey fan and a Blues fan here in St. Louis. But you and I have always known that the Blues have always had fantastic support through the ups and downs ever since this franchise started. You know, you and I have been hockey fans for many years. What does the NHL think of today when we shatter records for Fan Fest and stuff during the Stanley Cup? Then the All-Star game comes here and people are just going nuts and you know, selling out Fan Fest and just being around the entire thing. I mean, the NHL has to kind of look back and go, hey, wow, we've kind of missed this.
No, listen, I don't think they're overly surprised right now, Greg. I mean, you go back to last year in the playoffs when – you know, the Blues shattered merchandise sales. I mean shattered merchandise sales. I think the previous record was held by the 2010 Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks. But the amount of T-shirts and sweatshirts and jerseys that the Blues sold last year in the playoffs and then all the Stanley Cup championship gear was more than anything we've ever seen in the history of the NHL.
And also,
I mean, just think about that. And obviously, you know, having to wait as long as they did, you know, and I've tried to explain to people who are in town, you know, that it's not like people started showing up once the Blues won the Stanley Cup. I mean, these fans have been there for years, and they've always stuck by this team. So obviously you get rewarded, you know, with the Stanley Cup championship last year. And I'm not surprised whatsoever. This is kind of what St. Louis does, Greg. It's not just hockey. I mean, you see it with the baseball team. You saw it last summer or two summers ago with the PGA. Just how, you know, people responded to that tournament being here and to Tiger Woods and hearing his comments. You look at the parade, you look at the Winter Classic. St. Louis loves sporting events, and they love big events. Final Four, which has happened, you know, I think, back in 2004. So, again, this isn't the first time we've seen it, and people who have been around this city for a long time shouldn't be surprised.
No, I do agree with you with that. I do think St. Louis just loves its sports. You know, I just think that, as you mentioned about the merchandise and the parade was just phenomenal. I mean, that had to be the biggest Stanley Cup parade of all time. You know, seeing everybody there from Bob Plager and Brett Hull to all the players of today, I mean, was just amazing. I even want to bring up, as I said, you know, I seen you there at the alumni game on Thursday night. What a fantastic event turned out. Standing room only out at Centene Center. And, you know, it's just amazing. And it was just amazing how the fans reacted to the Blues alumni as well. It's just a great time to be a hockey fan.
Well, you go back to the Winter Classic, and if you remember, I mean, they sold out the alumni game in just a matter of minutes.
Right, I was there.
And we're talking about, you know, we're talking about close to 50,000 fans. That's not happening in every single one of these outdoor games where you're selling out the alumni game. So I mentioned, you know, a few minutes ago about the fan base, how it's not like they just showed up once the team won the Stanley Cup. This isn't a bunch of bandwagon fans. These are fans who have been there since the beginning, or, you know, depending on how old you are, I mean, you've been a fan probably since you were a kid. Even though the team didn't win, they continue to support the team. You know, they've had great players here, Greg. I mean, you talk about the alumni game and how many, you know, Hall of Famers who were out there. You see the skills competition last night with Bernie Federko on the ice and Al MacInnis and Brett Hall and Keith Tkachuk. I mean, these guys are great players. You know, Wayne Gretzky, the greatest player in the history of the game, regularly, you know, is coming to St. Louis. He's got a house here, but then he shows up at these events where he really doesn't have to show up to these events. Curtis Joseph is in town. So, you know, they've had great players who fans have supported for years. And a big reason as to why they come back every single year is because they've had competitive teams, too. I mean, teams who every single season, you know, outside of a handful, you really felt like they had a chance, you know. They had the streak of where they made the playoffs 26, 27 years in a row. You know, it just doesn't happen unless you have good hockey players. So the Blues have had good players, and obviously the fans respond to it. And they love the National Hockey League, and they love the Blues. And so now, if you go to a grade school, an elementary school, Greg, after winning the Stanley Cup, that's all you see. All these kids are wearing T-shirts, the Blues T-shirts and Blues sweatshirts and Blues jerseys. That's all you see. It's everywhere throughout elementary schools, too. So these kids are going to grow up and be huge fans. And now they're hooked for life on the game of hockey and the Blues after witnessing a Stanley Cup championship. So that run was unbelievable. We'll see if they can make another one coming up in a few months.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's another thing, too. You look at how competitive the team is today. And you know, Tarasenko's been out most of the year. I don't want to say we don't have any superstars on our team, but, you know, we're a bunch of players that get together and play as a team. There's really no individual players on this team.
Yeah, maybe not superstars, but a lot of really, really, really
absolutely
talented hockey players.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not trying to throw shade at that. That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, I know exactly what you mean. You're saying they win as a team where they don't just rely on one or two guys. I think one thing about the Tarasenko injury, if it's done anything, I think it's told the rest of the hockey world is, hey, maybe they don't depend on Tarasenko as much as you think they do. And they do have depth on their roster, and that's why they were so successful last spring. You know, they get, you know, impact play on a consistent basis from their fourth line as much as they do from their top six forwards. And, you know, not every team can say that. You know, you look at last year, you know, in the spring, who was that fourth line? It was Oscar Sundquist and Ivan Barbashev and Alexander Steen. When Barbashev was suspended for a game and Sundquist was suspended for a game, they lost both of those, right? So they rely on those guys just as much as the guys who are, you know, representing the Blues this weekend here on the All-Star game. So it is a team. But at the end of the day, guys like Jaden Schwartz and Braden Schenn, to go along with these guys who are playing in the All-Star game with Petrangelo and O'Reilly and Binnington and Perron, I mean, these guys are the real deal. They are really, really talented players. Most of these guys drafted high. You got a guy like Parayko who, you know, is a superstar defender, a top five defender in the National Hockey League in terms of his ability to play against, you know, top players game in and game out and defend at the highest level. You know, he was a third round pick. So occasionally you're going to find the diamond in the rough, but most of these guys were drafted high and for good reason, man. You got to give the Blue scouting staff a lot of credit for finding these guys and building the team the way they have. They got a nice combination, Greg, of draft picks, guys they've developed, and then supplementing some holes with some nice, nice trades that they've won, and then they're locking these guys up. These guys aren't just being traded here, and then you lose them a year later. They lock up the Schenns. You know, they inherited O'Reilly, who had 5 years left in his contract. You know, Justin Faulk signs a long-term deal. So when you bring in players like that who are really, really good, they're proven at this level, man, it's a luxury to have.
No doubt about it, and the depth, as you talked about, it is. It's just that we roll four lines, no question about it, and any one of those lines can score, and any one of those lines can check. It, you know, there's not the old checking line per se anymore.
No, and the game's changed. I mean, we used to say top six forwards. In fact, I think I just said it a few minutes ago. In reality, it's turned into a top nine, you know, group of forwards. It's a group of nine forwards. I mean, right. Everyone needs. You know, most teams can't just rely on one or two lines to contribute and produce offense for you. You need a third line that can produce offense. And the Blues have gotten that, and they get a fourth line that can chip in too. So it definitely helps when you have that depth. And again, but going back to what you said, you know, you look at the Blues, the leading scorer is a point-per-game guy. You know, David Perron's got 49 points in 49 games. You know, there's a lot of teams out there. They've got guys who, you know, are in that 60-point range, 70-point range. You know, the Blues don't rely on one guy. The power play's been fantastic this season, but they spread it around for sure.
No doubt about it. Andy Strickland's joining us here on the KMOX Auto Show. We're talking a little hockey game, big all-star game in town tonight. Watched the skills competition, obviously, last night. Andy, you were there. I got to tell you, pretty funny when Thomas Hertl put on the Justin Bieber mask to shoot on Jordan Binnington.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And Binnington made the save, too. So he keeps that $10,000 in his pocket. He doesn't have to give it to charity.
That's right.
But you know, everyone's asking, you know, Binnington what the plan is. And listen, I talked to him about this a couple of times, and he'll make an announcement probably after the season in terms of what he's going to do. But it'll likely be up in Canada. They'll have an event for it. But the good news is, and I don't even think I've said this to anybody, Greg, so a little exclusive right here on your show.
Awesome.
Is that the charity that he's most likely going to announce and choose is going to be here in St. Louis. So that's real positive.
Oh,
and
not very
the
cool.
Money. If Bieber does happen to score on Jordan Binnington, even if he doesn't, I have a feeling there's going to be some dollars tossed around to charities. It's likely going to support a charity here in St. Louis, which is very cool.
Yeah, very, very neat. You know, it's amazing about Jordan Binnington. You know, hats off to him, obviously, winning the contest last night, because you could tell he was in it to win it, and there were some pretty tough saves he had to make.
Oh, some really tough saves, but that's how committed he is and how intense he is. I mean, what a competitor, Greg. I mean, even in an all-star game, you know, skills, you know, expedition, you know, like this guy, or exhibition, I said expedition, this is a car show, right? Is this a car show?
Not today.
Okay, it could have been an expedition. I'm talking to Greg Damon, I think cars.
That's right, exactly.
But I mean, you know he's in it to win it, man. This guy is as competitive as it gets. You know what people don't realize about Jordan Binnington, because they see his personality, and of course he's tweeting out to Justin Bieber. This guy is all in during the hockey season. Like, he's not out all the time. He spends his time at the rink. He's not at the rink, he's at home. And he keeps a pretty low profile during the course of the season. You know, he had it on his list of goals to make the All-Star team this year, prove that he wasn't a one-year wonder. He got the two-year contract. Getting that second year was important to kind of allow him to settle in and relax and not feel like he had all the pressure, you know, on his shoulders to perform right away to secure a contract moving into next season. Gave him a little bit of breathing room, but he's quieted any doubters that may have been out there who thought maybe he was a flash in the pan. This guy is so good, and it is that preparation, that intensity, and that desire to win that – I think, you know, has him in the All-Star game and now has him labeled as truly one of the top goaltenders in the world.
Nope, absolutely, and certainly a fan favorite as well.
Oh, my God. They absolutely love this guy. And he was interacting with the fans last night.
Oh, yes,
you know, going
was.
Around the glass, you know, and talking to some of the fans and stuff like that. So, you know, listen, the Jordan Binnington that you see on camera – and in a lot of these interviews, and I've done a ton of interviews with him, that really isn't his real personality. I mean, it's a big part of his personality. But when you get to know him away from there, this guy is full of life. He's a super, super nice guy, very friendly. He has time for you, and he's got a great personality. He keeps it a little bit close to the vest when he does some of these interviews. I think that's by design. He enjoys that. But he's a really, really good guy.
I got to tell you, the funniest comment that I've ever heard him say was when he was just asked at the media day the other day, what's the difference between last year and this year? And he said the paychecks. I thought that was hilarious.
Man, you go from making, you know, the league minimum to, you know, making over $4.5 million. That's not bad in 1 year. It's a nice little raise, Greg.
That's
if you
right.
Can get it.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Andy, always great talking hockey with you here, and thanks for joining us on short notice here on the KMOX Auto Show, and have fun at the game tonight. Continued success. Hey, man, come back throughout the year, and we'll just chat some more.
I'd love to. Anytime, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Andy Strickland. I'm Greg Damon. You're listening to the KMOX Auto Show. We'll be back after these. Well, folks, we didn't run into that commercial, but that's going to end the auto show. Have a great week. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.